We're going to get started on our lesson, and I need to move through this. So, again, this is the last words of Peter. Last week we went through chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And so let me read that real quick, because this is goes right along with it, same chapter. So chapter 2 of 2 Peter 1 through 9 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them that were an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So I'm going to stop there, and we'll just talk just briefly about that. And so this is one of these passages that every preacher wants to preach when he goes somewhere to preach. No, he doesn't. You know, nobody wants to hear this. You know, let's preach on something fun and loving, but no, not damnation and false, you know, preachers and teachers that are coming in. And so, you know, that's probably why you don't hear a lot about this. But we learned last week, now your handout says we learned last week that we know false teachers by their... Okay, I want to put you guys on the spot that were here last week. Now, Susan and Gary have a bye. They weren't here last week. Of course, they could have went on likes and listened. But, so what, help them out. What goes in the first blank? How do you know a false teacher? Okay, heresies, and how do you know they're heresies? By their lips are moving, right? By their words. So words goes in that first blank. So hopefully when you turn on the TV and you hear some TV evangelist speaking and you hear what they're saying, those words probably should be putting bells going off in your head. Okay? And then you know them by their, what's the second one, guys? Who can tell me? Walk would be good, but what?
By their deeds,
but what was it last week we talked about?
Fruit.
You know them by their fruit, okay? And then by their blank of you. What do they do to people? What do these TV evangelists do? And they go, "Hey, send me your money." They're fleecing people. So I put fleecing down there. You can put whatever you want, but when we do the test, fleecing is what I'm really looking for. Okay. You guys laugh sometimes. I may put a test out. Okay. So, remember I said, this is like, you know, warning. This is what false teachers do. You're going to know them by what they say. Now, sometimes what they say sounds really good. And I'll give you an example. Rick Warren is a snake, let me tell you. He sounds good. But he's a snake, let me tell you. Okay? And I'm on tape. And I can name others. But I'm just telling you, some of them are not so good with their words. But some of their words are really good. I mean, you really have to kind of weed through it. I'll give you another one, John MacArthur. He's a really good preacher. It's just he's a Calvinist. Good preacher. But he's Calvinist.
He's just a little bit more saved than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I remember Mark Trotter telling me, he goes, I went to a conference out there at his church. Him and the other guy that used to be the co-pastors in New Philadelphia. Anybody remember the other guy's name? It was Mark Trotter but it eludes me right now. But they go out there and they're in different classes. And then that dawned on them through that. It just like kind of came out like that. We're more saved than you guys. Or if you want the truth, you got to come to us to get it. And they both came out and they go, we got to talk. These guys are not what we thought they were. And they're like, we got to leave. And I'm like, I kind of came to that same conclusion one day when I was kind of listening to one of a cassette tape that I had ordered from one of them. I thought, this guy's a really good preacher. He can expository preach. I'm going to use this to teach men how to expository preach in the group I'm at. And he did. He expository preached. But then the rest of the tape, I'm like, I can't. This guy's a Calvinist. Because he believes that you don't get a choice. And he believes some other weird stuff too. But anyway, most people all think John MacArthur, he's a fantastic preacher. Well, he is, but he's got some bad doctrine. But anyway, warning. And then some of them, you know right off the bat, you know, this guy's just as crooked as a politician, you know. There's a lot of them. But anyway, think about that, because we're going to put it on steroids after this lesson today, okay? And so now we're down to what I want to get to is those guys are the ones that we've kind of seen all the way up to verse 9 that we're reading. Now we're going to get into a different kind of false teachers from there on the end of the chapter. And if you're paying attention, that's exactly what we're seeing in our society today. The old TV evangelists are kind of going out, and there's a new group kind of coming in. And if we're paying attention to our verse here, it kind of shows exactly what's going on. So let's go ahead and read chapter 2, verse 10 to the end of the chapter, and then we'll back up, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. Verse 9 said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, he mentioned that in here. He's telling the people here in this letter, he goes, don't worry, these guys, they're going to get judged, and they're going to get judged pretty quick. So when does that judgment come? It's going to come. Basically, it's going to really start taking force at the rapture. That's when judgment's going to really start taking place, even though it's that's going to put everything in perspective. And so again, 2 Peter, we're getting towards the end of the book, the Bible, we're getting towards the end, so we're going to see some things that are basically going to be prevalent during the rapture and into right before the Lord comes back. So verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Now, they're not all bad. No, I'm kidding. I'm studying this week, and I'm like, hey, maybe I'm one of these false teachers. I'm like, no. Okay, I don't really like the government, but okay. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Again, we're talking about these false teachers, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But Satan does. That's kind of interesting. I'm just throwing out some things free of charge today. I'm sitting there, I see this, and I'm like, so these false teachers are stupider than angels. Okay, well, yeah, okay. It doesn't really quite say that, but I'm reading between the lines. Because angels won't bring railing accusations, but these false teachers will. Verse 12. But these false teachers, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So they're going to be among the people in the church somehow. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Remember when we studied Jude, Jude's going to go right along with 2 Peter, especially this chapter. Verse 16, but was rebuked, talking about Balaam, for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the later end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Okay, now that's pretty strong words. Okay? And so all of that is about false teachers. Now, what do you think Peter and Jude thought of false teachers? Not too much, right? They probably thought they should be hung up, you know, from the toenails. Because these guys, not only are they wicked, they pull other people in with them. That's the sad part. If you want to go off and do something on your own, I mean, and you know, the Lord will let you do that. But to pull innocent people in with you to go along with you, that's just evil. So on our handout here, we're going to look at some of the tells of false teachers continued. Okay? And the key word here is, let me go back and find it here. The key word, I think, is in verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. The key word is, they live after the flesh. False teachers walk in the flesh. Flesh goes in your blank. Okay? And so, it makes sense, because if you're lost, you're gonna walk in the flesh, right? What's Galatians 5:16 says? And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you gotta be saved to walk in the Spirit. But these teachers are walking in the flesh. Now, you know, you can be saved and still walk in the flesh. So, you know, you kinda gotta watch what's going on here. But I'm thinking these false teachers that we're seeing here, I don't think they're saved. I don't think they ever have been saved. So, and I'll kind of explain that as we go through this. But these false teachers are walking in the flesh. So hold your finger here and go over to Matthew 24. I'm going to try to tie things up together. Hopefully I have time to do it. Matthew 24. And this is Jesus talking about the end times here. And I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I doubt if I will. Let's just start in verse 1. Matthew 24, 1. And again, this actually is a tribulation passage. It's written to the Jews, not specifically to the church. And Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. So what's the context? Right, the tribulation, right before he comes back the second time. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So what are we talking about? False teachers. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Again, another reference to the tribulation. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity or sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, again the end is the trib, the same shall be saved. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, so it's a tribulation passage, and he's talking about false prophets. Those false prophets are the same thing that we're seeing back here in 2 Peter, because it said right off the bat in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. So, these are false teachers. The context is, in Matthew, is the trib, and right here we're getting down to that. So my point I'm trying to make is, we're kind of switching over to a trib context here in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. So these false teachers walk in the flesh, and it's in the lust of uncleanness. Now, we've kind of studied that out before. What's that really mean, guys?
Perversion.
Sexual perversion. Okay? You have false teachers that are going to be fully involved with all kinds of perversion. Okay? Is that starting to sound like our society today? More so than it was 30, 20 years ago? Okay? They despise government. And like I said, I can't blame them for that. But they are presumptuous. Meaning they're proud and they're prideful. Okay? We saw that. So turn over to Job.
They have their own flag.
They probably do. They're prideful, right? What are they called? Pride parades? Right? Turn over to Job, chapter 41. Job 41:34 says, okay, let's back up just a little bit. Let's go back to verse 27. It says, he esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire, and he maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not like his like. There is not like his like who is made without fear. Who are we talking about?
Satan.
Verse 34. He holdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of what?
Right.
Now, do you want to know who they're worshiping? They may not know it, but they're worshiping Satan. I'm telling you, that's just follow what the words in the Bible say. Okay. So they are these people, these false prophets, are prideful. They're proud. They're daring. They're bold. All of those. They are presumptuous, They are self-willed. Another bullet point down. They please oneself. They please themselves. They live to please themselves. They speak evil of dignities. Now, those dignities can be anybody that lives with truth and morals. If you are a moral person, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to talk you down. Oh my, does that, I mean, you don't even have to be, you don't have to be a Christian to have some morals. There's a lot of Mormons that have good morals. They'll send you to hell on the moral road, but they got good morals. But these people are speaking evil of anybody that has truth or morals in their life. And then back in verse in 2 Peter, they are compared to animals. They are compared to animals. Okay. It says they're beastly. And that's another thing that's going to be coming back. Bestiality. Mark my words, you're going to see it more and more come out. Okay, so, you know, the Bible compares lost people to animals. Dogs. A lost man is compared to a dog.
Asses.
What's that?
Asses too, aren't they?
Asses? Yes, they are. That's not in my notes, but you're right. They are. Women are compared to pigs. There are people compared to snakes in the Bible. That's not, you know, that's not a stretch, is it? You know.
I was just thinking when you said women are compared to pigs. It's just, all the nose rings and stuff. That, yeah. I was first thought that came to my head. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I thought it was lipstick on a pig.
Lipstick on a pig. But, you know, the same thing.
All those nose rings.
I remember helping my grandfather and uncles put rings in pigs' noses.
Yeah.
I mean, I stood on top of them because I had such a little squirt. My job was to help hold them down. I'm like, you ever try to hold about a 300 pig down? It's hard to do. And it's like four guys on the, and I had an uncle and he had some pigs and he was, I don't know, he might have been castrating them too and putting rings in their noses. And they were big hogs. And there was like four guys on that and I was standing on top of them. I was just standing on them. And they were doing all the work. And I'm like, now they're putting in people's noses. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Don't get me started. But anyway, they're compared to animals. And they're going to perish in their own corruption, it says here in the text. They are unrighteous. They have pleasure in writing in the open. Open goes in your blank. So animals was a blank. And open is a blank. And let's go back to our passage here. Let me see where it's at. I'm looking for the spots. Verse 13. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. They take pleasure in what they do. Spots they are and blemishes. Now those two are going to go together. And let me just spend a little time with you. If you want to study the Bible, one of the best ways to study the Bible is just do a word study. And you will be surprised what you find out. Okay? Spots in the Bible are never good. And I was thinking about that and I'm like, is spots good anytime? Now I know when I was a kid I read a Dr. Seuss book about this bear that had spots. But I'm like, spots are never good. I mean, you don't like spots on your car. You don't like spots on the windshield. You don't like the doctor say, hey, we found a spot. Same thing in the Bible. Spots aren't good. They are never good in the Bible. And you're like, well, Bob, you're just a little weird. Well, that may be, but X marks the spot. And you go, oh, you're getting superstitious now. Just do a word study on all this and see what you come up with. Spots are never good. And for lack of time, let me just give you some references. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 2, the first time you see spot mentioned in the Bible, it is connected with leprosy. A spot in your flesh. Okay? When we when the Israelites were told to do sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were told to use an animal that had no spots and no blemishes. Okay. Numbers 19:2. Numbers 28:3. Spots are connected to people in Deuteronomy 32. So let's go back and look at this. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32.
32?
Yes, 32. Now, this is actually Moses, and he is teaching the Israelites a song. Chapter 31:30 says, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." So verse 32 is the song, and it says, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord." Hey, that's good. That'd be a good Bible verse for word first. "I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock." Notice his capital R. "His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot. It's not like the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation." Now, I'm going to stop right there. But it's basically likening people to be in a spot, and it's not a good thing. Okay? And so there's another place where spots are not good. Turn back to Peter. But go to 1 Peter, where we've already been there. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Our Lord and Savior is without spot, and he's without blemish. Now, it's just defined in 2 Peter that these false prophets are spots and they are blemishes. Okay? The church is to have no spot. And you can go to Ephesians 5:27 and look at that. But I want you to turn over to Revelation 13:2, and I'll get off my little rant about spots. Revelation 13:2. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." That's my sister. No. "And upon his horns..." I'm on tape. That's going to bite me. No. Okay. "And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." Now let me ask you, what do leopards have?
Spots.
Just coincidence. Just nothing to see there. Just a coincidence. No. I mean, watch what the Bible paints for you. It'll paint the pictures for you that if you're paying attention, you will see things come out. And you're like, anytime I see anything with a spot, I'm not like, okay, back off, you know. Or anytime I see anything with an X, I back off. So Elon Musk, his company is called what? X. I wished it hadn't been X, but when I see that, what's that?
SpaceX,
whatever. When I see that X, I'm like, I can't put my finger on anything, but I just, in the back of my head, I'm like, just wait. Because I don't know. All I see is everything else in the Bible with an X. It's not good. And here I see something with an X. So, do with that what you want, but I'll table that thought for a minute, where who he is and what I think of him. But, oh well. So anyway.
I noticed something really interesting. I mean, you probably know it already, but so it's 2 Peter 2:13, right?
Uh-huh.
And you took us to Leviticus 13:2 and then Revelation 13:2.
Wow. Okay. No, I had not seen that. if you're paying attention, you will see things and they'll pop out at you, but just coincidence. Oh, no, no. They're there. They're there. And the more you study, the more you see things, the more you'll just, God will give you something and you'll go, okay, well, I've seen the pattern in the Bible and so I'm seeing it pop up here. So I better pay attention. God will do that for you. Okay, so these guys are spots. They are blemishes. And then they love making, your next blank is sport of deceiving people. They're like the globalist. I'm going to meddle a little bit. There are some evil, evil people in this world that we don't think like them. They want to kill us. But they want to torture us and make money off of us while they do it. That's evil.
They don't even fight it.
That's Bill Gates. If you're paying attention, you see it. But, you know, you got to be watching that. Okay? So, let's keep moving. They love being involved in adultery. That's what it says back in our text. They love adultery. Okay? They are addicted. Addicted, I believe, is another blank that you have. To sin. They are beguiling and unstable. They have to have sin. It's like a drug to them. Okay? They got to do it. You know, it's like a bank robber has to rob a bank. You know, haven't robbed a bank. You know, they haven't robbed a bank for a week or two. It's like it's in their blood. I got to rob a bank, you know. These people are addicted to sin. I'm thinking of that. What's the English guy that had the song Addicted to Love? Yeah, Robert Palmer. I'm like, these are the opposite. Okay. These guys are addicted to sin. These false teachers. They can't help themselves. Why? Because they are so engrossed in the lifestyle that they have. Okay? They are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and followed the way of Balaam. Balaam goes in your blank. My goodness, I'm rolling. I'm still not going to get through this.
What was the blank before that?
Oh, I missed it. They have a heart that purposely practices covetous ways. You can see they are consumed with this lifestyle. This is a lifestyle for them. Okay? They take pleasure in it. They're prideful. And if you're paying attention, you're seeing that in our society today. Now the sad part is, you're going to see these people in the so-called church. And they're going to be teaching in the church. And you're like, wait a minute, these fruit cakes are going to be teaching in the churches? And you're already seeing it. You are already seeing it. The Methodist Church is in a mess right now because of what's going on. So, on your second page, we're going to talk about Balaam for a minute. You'll see Balaam back in Numbers 22 to 24. You see him three places in the New Testament. 2 Peter 2:15, Jude 11, and Revelation 2:14. Interesting. All three places in the New Testament have a tribulation context. All three are talking about false teachers. Okay? We are told in the Bible to look out for three things about Balaam. Okay? So, the way of Balaam was defined here in 2 Peter 2:15. And let me just read that and we'll see if we can pick that up. It says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, and here it is, defined, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So your blank there is, the way of Balaam, defined in verse 15, is loving the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the money that he received for his unrighteous act. And doesn't the Bible say that the love of money is the root of all evil? And it certainly is. I mean, you'll always find money involved. Okay? He loved the money that he received. Now and Balaam's one of these guys I can't figure out. All I can figure out, he was a prophet of God that went bad. That's the only thing I can come up with. Okay. Number two, the error of Balaam is defined in Jude 11. So we're not too far from Jude 11. So we'll just bounce over to Jude. Verse 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." So in Jude, he mentions a couple other guys along with Balaam, but here the heir of Balaam was that he returned back to Balak to tell him how to curse Israel without actually cursing them himself. And if you go back and read the story, you're like, what happened here? What went on? But, you know, he was going to give him all this money. Balak was going to give him this money to curse Israel, and God told him not to. But he went back to Balak after it was all said and done and says, "I can't curse him, but I'll tell you how you can bring him down." You think God was very happy with that? No, he wasn't. Because you know what? It wasn't long after that Balaam gets killed by the Israelites. He is mentioned in Numbers as he is killed with the group when they come in. And then you got the doctrine of Balaam. Now you have to go to Revelation 2:14 to find this one. 2:14 says this: "I have a few things against thee," in Revelation 2:14. "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Okay? So, what was that? What goes in your blanks? Fornication and idols. They taught Balak to get the women of Moab to entice the men of Israel to commit fornication and eat things offered to idols. Same thing these false prophets are going to do, or false teachers are going to do right before Christ comes back. And these are things we're going to start seeing in the church here. Okay. So, these false teachers are compared to wells without water. Water is compared to God's Word in the Bible, John chapter 4. They are compared unto dry clouds in Jude 12. They are compared to darkness, or darkness is reserved for them, Jude 13. They speak great swelling words. We've already seen that, but we see it also in Jude 16. And they promise liberty, but they are under bondage. And that's the same thing that's going on today. Same thing really started taking place with the hippie movement back in the 60s. Hey, you want to be free? We are free birds. We are free people. If you really want to be free, then you need to hang with us. That's the same thing that's going on now. These pride people and all this group, hey, they want to be free to do whatever they want to do. You want to be free? Come with us and you'll be free. But really, they get sucked into bondage by doing that. Okay. They had the knowledge of Christ, but they rejected it, and they have returned to follow their evil ways. Now, what it actually says in 2 Peter at the end of chapter 2 is, a little rougher way of saying it, says, "But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." So some of these false prophets may have had a relationship with the Lord at one time, but I kind of doubt it, because it says they returned into the true proverb, and it calls them a dog and basically a swine again, which is...
Having knowledge of Christ doesn't mean you're saved.
That's it. They had the knowledge of Christ, who he was, but they rejected it, okay? So let me just try to wrap this all up. It seems like we're past the fake TV evangelists, and we're heading straight out to straight out perversion right now in our society. Churches are allowing homosexuals to be pastors, and it seems just to be getting worse and worse. We got women as pastors. Jesus said that there would be false prophets right before he comes, and same things that was taking place in the day of Noah and the day of Lot. Well, we know what was going on in those days are examples of what's going to be happening right before he comes back. And so I'll just show you where the world is headed now. Revelation 17 is where you have a false teacher that's following Balaam's advice. It's the woman riding on the false prophet or on the false beast with a religion that people are worshiping idols and all types of sexual perversion. It's the whore of Revelation 17. So these false TV preachers can't hold a candle to this religious system. And we're seeing this system come out. We're seeing it being formed again or just come out in the open before our eyes. But the Bible tells us to watch for these things. We see it in Matthew 24. We see it in 1 Corinthians 6:13, Colossians 4:2, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, 2 Timothy 4:5, and 1 Peter 4:7. What are we supposed to watch for? Watch out for this so we don't get sucked into the system. Okay. And so I'll stop there because I'm out of time. We may hit this a little harder when we come back next week or kind of review it just real quickly. But what I wanted to point out, why do we go through all this? Because we're there. We're seeing this. Okay. And we need to watch out for it and make sure that we don't get involved in it, or we can help people that are somewhat in it to get out of it. So that's what we need to be doing. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll get moving. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the warnings that you give us. And Lord, I pray you would take heed to these warnings, that we'd take notice and we just don't push them away, Lord, but we would see the evil and the sin that is going on around us, Lord, and that we, number one, not partake of it, not take light of it. And Lord, help us to be a witness to the people that may be in this system or could be enticed to it, Lord. And I just pray you'd show us, give us the words to say to people. Help us to be an example to show them Christ, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. So I pray with that today, Lord. I pray for people that are here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord. I pray that they would see the truth of the gospel, and I pray that they would just obey what the Holy Spirit tells them to do and accept Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I just pray you give us a good week, give us open doors, give us the words to say, help us to stay in your book, and help us to watch what's going on so we can constantly focus on living our life for you. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.